Find your place in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Our New Testament book that we've been studying together is the book of 1 Timothy, and we've come to chapter 5. Last time we preached on this, we preached on verses 1 and 2. Now we pick up our reading in verse number 3 and preach all the way down through verse number 16. I love preaching through books of the Bible. And Mr. Kaiser, he's with the Lord. He used to teach us in homiletics class. You say, what's that? Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter, you know. He used to teach us that preaching through a Bible book is such a powerful way to preach because you hit things that typically you wouldn't hit if you're just picking and choosing things. And it forces a pastor to preach all of the counsel of God. There are no unimportant parts of the Word of God. Not one part of it's unimportant. Not one. If it was, then why in the world would God include it? This is all God's Word, which means that every message that we hear and every message of the Word of God is for us. Now one of the things that I want to teach you how to do is how to take any passage of Scripture and apply it to your life. In other words, what is God telling you to do in this message? Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. The Word of God says, honor widows that are widows indeed. I want you to underline two words. It's the last two words of that verse. It's the title, my topic, my theme, my text. It's the two words, widows indeed. Widows indeed. And I want to speak to you on that subject tonight and do a Bible study with you on this passage right here, verses 3 through 16, on widows indeed. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you help me as I teach to be clear, to be understandable, and I pray, God, that you help me to be compassionate. Would you forgive my sins? Help me to be a clean vessel, please. Do your will in my life, and I pray that you flow through me tonight. Would you speak to these dear people? Thank you for them coming this way, and help us to be a preacher that preaches the entire counsel of God, and may you show us what you have for us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in our study on 1 Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul is speaking directly to his young son in the faith by the name of Timothy. Now, Timothy is the pastor of this church, and Paul is giving him instructions about the church and the work that the Lord has for it. Now, we've come to an issue in this book that is so important in the life and ministry of the local church. It's the issue of caring for widows. Now, I want this church to be a church where God is pleased and where God is praised. And in order for it to be a place where this is so, we must be willing to follow His clear directions within His holy word. And one of the many directions that He gives to the local church is this issue of caring for widows who are in their midst. As a matter of fact, this is a targeted group. See how this ties in? I mean, it's amazing. They are a targeted group of people that the church should have their heart set on. These dear ladies are those who have gone through the tragedy of losing their life's mate to death. As I speak, there are several ladies in this church who are widows indeed. Now let me say to all widows that God loves you and cares for you very deeply. The Word of God says in Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. In Deuteronomy 10:18, it says, He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. That tells me He loves orphans and He loves widows. Exodus 22:22-23 says, ye shall not afflict a widow, any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. The Bible says in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, it's my desire that through this message, this local church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, will see what the Lord is saying in this matter of dealing with widows indeed. And may the Lord bless the following thoughts from His Word. I want to give you three major thoughts about widows indeed. Number one, The first thought from our text is we see the responsibility to care for widows indeed. Who is responsible to care for these widows? Look at verse number four. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Look at verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Look at verse number 16. And if any man or woman that believeth, God's children, local church, have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, even though this is Paul speaking to Timothy about the local church, the Holy Spirit inspired these words to be pinned down for our instruction. Now, notice in these verses how there is a progression in the responsibility to care for widows. By the way, in Bible days, there were no retirement plans. There were no insurance policies and no Social Security. These widows back in this day did not have readily employment available to them. Many lived in poverty, having never received an inheritance. Keep in mind that these ladies back in this day, they needed help and they needed support to stay alive and keep going for the glory of God. Now, that being the case, since they couldn't help themselves, God lays the responsibility to care for these widows on the shoulders of three separate groups of people. And there is a progression to this. The first responsibility lies on the children. We see this in verse number 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. Verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It's important to note the fact that the immediate responsibility to care for these widows falls on the children. Now notice how the Word of God shares how the children are to show piety at home and to requite their parents. Now the word piety means respect or support. The word requite here means to repay for a benefit or service. Now get in mind what God is saying. In other words, when a child's father passes away and their mother is now a widow, God expects the children to step in and respect and support the one who has helped them down through life. Now stay with me here. After all, when we as children were unable to help ourselves, it was our parents, in most cases, who took care of us. They changed our diapers, they clothed us, they fed us, they protected us, they helped us and they guided us. Now at this time when our mother is without our father and she is a widow indeed and she needs support, she can't help herself, she's got to be helped, then it's the children who's to step up and to repay their mother because their mother helped raise them so they're alive and well today. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is something that this nation needs and our local churches need. Listen to me, please. If your mother is still alive and if your father's still alive, praise God for it. But if your daddy is dead and your mother is a widow, God expects the children to step in first. Amen. You say, why? Because it was your parents who stepped in for you when you couldn't help yourself. The responsibility lies on the children first. Secondly, if the children don't do it, it lies on other family members. We see this in verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews. Now when you think of a nephew today, that's more of a targeted group today. But keep in mind that the word nephews here is speaking of descendants or grandchildren. That's what that word means. Descendants or grandchildren. In other words, if there are no children in the picture, or if the child refuses to take care of the widow, this responsibility falls on other family members such as grandchildren. The family members are to try and make sure all of their widow members, parents and grandparents, are taken care of. This is the way of God. Now notice verse number 8. The Word of God says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, worse than an infidel. What this verse is saying is that if you do not step up as a family member, if you do not step up as a child and care for your mother who is a widow, or if you as a grandchild do not step up and help your parents care for your grandmother, listen to me here. He's saying this, you have no testimony. That's what he's saying. He's saying this is worse than an infidel. An infidel is somebody who denies there's a God. And God says if somebody does not care for their own household, they are worse than a God denier. That's strong language. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, I was planning on teaching this. I'm preaching it. Hallelujah. And what I'm saying to you, this is something here that we need to latch on to. By the way, is this important? How do you know it? How do you know it's important? Because it's in the Bible. It's God's will for the responsibility to care for widowed parents. I'm talking about the mother. I'm talking about a widow indeed. It rests on the children. It rests on other family members. Then number three, it rests on the local church. We see this in verse number 16. Now we need to keep in mind that this is Paul speaking to Timothy again about the work of the church. In other words, the local church, get this, does have a responsibility to care for widows indeed, but only if the children and relatives do not. Now stay with me here. But even in cases where the children and relatives are taking care of widows, the local church can step in, and they should still step in, and help wherever needed to care for the widows. The key word in this point is the word indeed. Widows indeed. Now, it's the children's responsibility to care for the widow. It's the family's responsibility to care for the widow. It's the church's responsibility to care for the widow indeed. Indeed. The word indeed is the important word to understand here. The church has a responsibility for widows indeed. Now I'm getting ahead of myself here, but in verse number 5, we see the word desolate. And this word desolate means isolated. In other words, a widow who is truly all alone, who is desolate, has no family support, has no help, and anybody helping to take care of her by, I'm talking about from her family, from her children, if there's a lady who is a widow and she's truly desolate, she's all alone in this world, God expects the local church to make up the hedge. Now this is the teaching here. These widows can be taken care of with deacons, Acts chapter 6. However, we see in verse number 16 that the Lord says men and women who believe, he's talking about Christians, are to relieve these widows at this time. Now, in order to help with this at this church, our deacons right now are in the process of being given names and information of the widows at our church. Them and their wives, I'm talking about the deacons and their wives, are beginning to check on these dear ladies to see if they have any needs. And if they have any needs, then if the church can help, we'll try to help with that. Obviously, the church can't bind itself down with everything. But there are some things that we can help our widows with. And I believe it's something that God is pleased with because it's in the Word of God. Now, along with this, I've got a burden to do something with the widows in our church as far as like a widow's ministry. Now, I don't have any clear direction on this yet. I'm just telling you that I've got a burden for this because let me tell you something. I have a burden that every ministry of this church is reproducing itself. And every ministry of this church is reaching other people. And what I mean by that, if you're a widow, let me ask you a question. Are there other widows in this area who are not in church and not saved? What do you think? Sure, they're everywhere. So why not start a ministry where those widows are reaching out to other widows and reaching these other widows with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I'm simply saying we've got a burden for this. This is the responsibility to care for them. Number two, not only the responsibility to care for them, but secondly, let's notice the requirements to be a widow indeed. The requirements to be a widow indeed. Now, as I studied this message, it came out, now get this, it came out that just because a lady has lost her husband, this does not qualify her to be a widow indeed. It doesn't. Now stay with me here. It does not qualify a lady if her husband dies, that does not automatically qualify her to be a widow indeed that the church is to feel responsibility for. There are certain requirements that she must meet. I'm going to give you three of them. Now, there's a lot under one of them. Well, let me just divide this into three. I've already touched on one. First of all, the requirement is she must be desolate. This is found in verse number 5. Look at it. It says, now she is a widow indeed and desolate. Now again, I've already touched on this, but this simply means that she's all alone. She has no children or relatives to care for her. In other words, she really needs the help of the local church. She really needs it. And without its help, she'll not be cared for. Do you see that? That's what he's saying in the word desolate. She must be desolate. Number two, she must be devoted. We see this in verses 5 and 6. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Boy, these are powerful verses. Now notice in these verses that she's a widow. I'm talking about a widow indeed is a lady who is devoted to her God. In other words, she is a child of God who has placed her hope on God and keeps it on God. She realizes her only hope is in her God who has saved her. And because of this, she spends her time night and day pouring out her heart before Him for His help and His care. She's looking to the Lord for help. Don't you see that? It says she trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. If she's not a devoted Christian, the church is not to feel responsible for her. Amen. That's what the Word of God is teaching here. She must be a widow indeed. And for her to be a widow indeed, she must be desolate. She must be devoted. Now this is in opposition to the other lady brought out in verse number 6. Where it says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. This lady is living in pleasure as a widow. In other words, this carries the idea that after the death of her husband, she thinks she's found some newfound liberation and has more time for the world than for God. That's what this verse is, because this is all in the context of a widow. Who is a widow indeed? One who is living only for this life's pleasures. And all the while being dead to Christ and dead to His service. This kind of a widow who is not a child of God, who does not know God, and who is living it up because she thinks she's been set free, excuse me, the church is not responsible for her. She's not. The church is not. Is anybody out there tonight? Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Number one, we're looking at the requirements to be a widow indeed. She must be desolate, truly alone. She must be devoted. She must be a godly Christian. Thirdly, she must be distinct. This is brought out in verses 9 to 13. I told you there was a lot under one of these. Here we go. This simply means that she's clearly marked off. In other words, the word of the Lord goes on in these verses, verses 9 to 13. We'll look at them together in just a moment, to share with us the clearly marked off boundaries of a widow indeed. Her distinction is as follows. Number one, she is not under 60 years old. Did you even know that was in Scripture? Look at verse number 9. The Word of God says, let not a widow be taken into the number under threescore, a score is 20, three of them, 20, 40, 60, into the number under threescore years old, having been the wife of one man. Now, this could be due to the fact, now that doesn't mean that if there's a lady who loses her husband and she's 55, that if she needs help from this church, we're going to say, she's not 60, we're not going to help her. That's not what this means. Okay? It's more of a principle here. And the principle is this. This could be due to the fact, and God willing, I'm going to preach a separate message on the younger widow later, because this is brought out. But it could be due to the fact that the younger widow could possibly take care of herself. or be more tempted to remarry later on in life. And in both cases, the church does not have a responsibility to care for the younger widows like they do for the older ones. She's not to be taken under 60 years old. Number two, she's to have been the wife of one man. Verse number nine, the latter part, having been the wife of one man. Now, there are differences of opinion as to what this means. And one opinion is that she's not a divorced widow. Another opinion in this is that when one husband has died, if she remarries, the church is not responsible for her. I think you can make a case for both. I'm not going to tie myself down to either one of those, because in both cases it's true. For instance, if a lady's husband dies and the church steps in and helps her, then she gets remarried, the church is no longer responsible for her. You see what I'm saying? The husband's responsible for her. But at the same time, if this lady is a divorced widow, then is the church responsible for her? Let's not cross that boat unless we have to. Amen? Very good. We're looking at her distinction. She's not under 60. She's been the wife of one man. Number three, she's to have a good testimony. Look at verse 10. Well reported of for good works. In other words, she must have a clear testimony of faithful Christian service as to which the church would not be opposed in supporting her. In other words, if her testimony is questionable and she's doing things that's not good works, I'm talking about she's a worldling, she's just out living it up, she doesn't care what God thinks, listen to me please, God's not holding the church responsible for a lady like that. He's not. But if you are a lady of God and you love God and you're devoted to God, and I'm talking about you're pouring your heart out to God and you have a good testimony, God says, my local church, I'm giving you the responsibility to care for them. You step in and you help them if they need help. Number four, she's to have brought up children. Verse number 10, it says, well reported for good works if she have brought up children. If she have brought up children. Now what this means here is that she's one, right here, whether it was her own children or somebody else's, because back in this day, some of these ladies would care for other people's children, and whether it was her own children or somebody else's, pretty much who couldn't care for their own, the idea here is that she raised them right. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but she raised them right, and she raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord of glory. These are all part of her distinction. Number five, she's hospitable. Verse number 10, it says, if she have lodged strangers. And this means she's one given to hospitality and taking care of the needs of others. It's appropriate to say here that she who has taken care of others is worthy to be taken care of by the church. You see what I'm saying? She who has spent her life taking care of other people and caring for their needs and being very hospitable and given to hospitality and giving of herself, then when she's put in a place where she can't help herself, then the church should step in and help this lady who's given her life to helping other people. This is a Bible study, a little bit different, but this is so important that you see this in this book. She's hospitable. Number six, she's a humble servant. This is all under she's distinct. Look at verse number 10. It says, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet. Now, it's been said that this was a service of a slave. Back in these days, the people would get dirty feet in their travels due to traveling barefoot or traveling with sandals on and sandals alone. And the ones who were self-denying would be the ones who would bend down and serve these people by washing their dirty feet off. See, the idea here is that this lady's not in life for herself, but she's in it as a humble servant of Jesus Christ. Number seven, she relieves the afflicted. Verse number 10. If she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, this could be done by her visiting and ministering to the afflicted. The point is here is when she sees one who's hurting, afflicted, she takes her time to stop and help. By the way, these are traits that all of us should strive to have. Relieving the afflicted, giving the hospitality, helping other people, serving other people humbly. Then number 8, she diligently follows every good work. Verse number 10, look at it, the last phrase. If she have diligently followed every good work. The idea here is that wherever good work is, she's there. Wherever, I'm talking about, that's a good work. You'll find her right there doing it then. She's diligent to do what is good and what is right in the eyes of the Lord and not follow her own sinful desires. Now let me apply this just a moment here. Because there are two types of ladies listening to me now. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about either married or widowed. I mean, I realize that there are those who've never been married, but I'm talking about who's been married and their husband is dying. There are those whose mate is still living or those who the mate is not. And on the flip side, you have those ladies who've never been married, like the teenagers, and all these younger girls like that. Let me apply this to you. Here's what God is saying. God is saying that widows indeed are a responsibility of the local church, but not first. Their first responsibility is to be placed on the children. The second responsibility is to be placed on the family members, the nephews, the grandchildren, the descendants. The third responsibility is to be laid on the local church, but if the local church is to step in, it's only for a certain type of widow. It's not just a widow. It's for a widow indeed. And the widow indeed is desolate. She has no other help. Number 2, she's devoted. She's more pleased with what God gets pleasure out of than herself. She's distinct in that she's not under 60 years old. She's been the wife of one man. She has a good testimony. She's brought up children right. She's given to hospitality. She's a humble servant. She relieves the afflicted and she follows every good work. Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. Does that summarize you? Are you devoted? Say, well, it doesn't matter. My husband's still alive. I don't have anything to worry about right now. Uh-huh. And one of these days, you might need the church to step in. And listen, I'm not saying this. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If we have a dear widow in our midst, it's not like I'm going to stand beside her and say, okay, are you devoted? Mm-hmm. All right, how old are you? Boy, I'd get killed for saying that one, wouldn't I? All that. It's not I'm going to have a checklist. Because we're going to do what we can to serve our widows. But you ought to know in your heart that you're the widow indeed. You know when that starts? Now. You say, my husband's still living. Great. Wonderful. Praise God for it. But he may not be here forever. So if you're living it up now, doing your own thing now, having your own pleasure now, and all of a sudden your husband passes away, wait a minute, church is not responsible for you. Now, folks, that's serious business. Would you agree with that, yes or no? We see this. Number 3, not only have we seen here tonight, we have noticed the responsibility to care for widows. We have noticed the requirements to be a widow indeed. And then number 3, let's look at the results for caring for widows indeed. In other words, when these widows who are widows indeed are truly taken care of the way that God wants them to be, what's the result? It's found in verse number 16. Now look at it, where the Word of God tells us this in our text. It says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, when I first read this, I thought that the man and woman were members of this local church. But let me help you see this the way that this is really talking about. If any man or woman who's a Christian has a widow, a mother, let them relieve them, and let not the church be burdened. That's what that word charge means, be burdened. That it, the church, may relieve or help them that are widows indeed. Do you see what it's saying? He's saying here the results of caring the way that God has planned it for the children, then if the children can't, the grandchildren and relatives, if they can't, the church. He's saying, if any of you who are listening, if you have a widowed mother, let you who believe in me take up this responsibility so the church is not overburdened for caring for your mother and taking away from the widow who has no children to care for her. Do you understand what I just said? That's what that verse is talking about. And what we're saying here is that when the local church has been given the responsibility to care for a widow in their congregation, it's an exalted privilege and duty to be accomplished. But yet in this verse, we see the result of caring for these widows brought out for our attention is that the church is not charged or burdened, and they can relieve the widows who are widows indeed. And the first requirement is that they're desolate, remember? They have no outside help. They have no children to help them. They have no family members to help them. Then the church, instead of being burdened down with that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that, they can spend their time on the widows who have nobody to help. And may God help a child of God who will not step in and care for their own mother. My mother's in the service tonight. My dad's still living, and I praise God for it. I don't even want to think about losing either one of them. And they might lose me before I lose them. I hope that doesn't happen either, I'll be honest with you now. But the fact of the matter is this, God as my witness, and he knows I'm telling the truth, and my mother knows I'm telling the truth. If my dad dropped dead of a heart attack, my brother and myself would be the first one to take care of our mother. And God help me and any other child of God who wouldn't feel the same way about their mom. Amen. By the way, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be hurtful. How many of you all have already lost your mother? She's already gone to be with the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Do you agree with what I'm saying? If your mother was still living tonight and your daddy was dead, would you not drop everything you could if your mama called you and said, "Could you come help me?" Sure you would, folks. That's the responsibility God has given to the children. The bottom line is when a believer who has a mother or a grandmother or other relative who is a widow cares for them as they are called to do in this text, the church will not be so overburdened with the care of all of them that other ministries are negatively affected. You see this now? At the same time, this will ensure that the church can focus upon the widows who do not have a family member to care for them and meet their needs instead of taking help from them and giving it to help others who have family members who should be doing that. Now, by the way, if you're a widow and you have children and they won't have anything to do with you, you come see us and we'll help you any way we can. That's part of being desolate. You understand that. I'm not saying if somebody's a widow and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, good night, I was getting ready to call the church for help tomorrow, but this he's just told me if my children are here, still alive, I mean, they won't have anything to do with me, and I know they won't help me, but he's telling me the church is not responsible. Wait a minute. Desolate means you're all alone. It doesn't mean if they're not there. He just said if you don't have anybody helping you. And what I mean by that is that if you have tried your children, if the children will not step up, other family members will not step up, that responsibility lies upon the local church. And we gladly take it up, and we gladly try to bear your burdens, and we gladly try to help you and encourage you and strengthen you and support you in any way we can. That's the way God wants it. And that's the way it ought to be. Deuteronomy 27:19. Now you understand that doesn't mean that we're going to support you as a monthly missionary. That doesn't mean we're going to give you money all the time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we can step in here and maybe take care of that. And you know, maybe we can help you with this. And good night, you need your gutters cleaned out. Maybe we can get some men over there, get some teenagers over there to help clean out your gutters. I don't know what it all entails, but I do know that God expects us for widows indeed who are truly desolate and devoted and distinct for the children of God in the local church to step up to the plate and take care of a widow like that. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, amen. You know what's interesting? I'm just about through. You know that doesn't mean a thing, right? This came out in my study. This is tremendous. As Jesus hung on the cross. Now I want you to think with me just a moment as he was hanging on the cross. He chose to speak to only a select few people. As he was hanging there, he spoke to only a select few. He spoke to his father, remember? He spoke to the thief that was dying beside him. And he spoke to his mother. You know the interesting thing about Mary at this time? Joseph had died. Joseph was no longer living. Which means his mother, get it, was a widow. And it's interesting in the Word of God that the Bible says that Jesus chose to speak to a dying thief and to his widowed mother. Isn't it interesting that at the point in life that he was in, he was interested in the salvation of a lost thief and the care of his widowed mother? That's powerful to me, folks. Because he looked at John, remember? And he said, woman, behold thy son. And he said, John, behold thy mother. Before he bowed his head in death, he made sure he saved a sinner and cared for a widow. Don't tell me it's not important to him, folks. God loves widows. And he wants to take care of them. And if you're a widow here tonight, and I know we have several, I want you to know something. At a time of the hour when you feel like nobody cares, and a time of the night when you wish that your husband was there, there's a God in heaven who has written a lot of scripture to make sure that you're cared for. He loves you tonight. He cares about you tonight. And church, is it not a great privilege that God, among many things, he has said, one thing I want the local church to do is when she's truly desolate, when she's devoted, when she's distinct, I want my local church, who's a picture of my body, I want you to step in and care for these widows. These are the kind of things. Do you understand what Mr. Kaiser was saying? I'm learning it more and more every day, preacher, that when you preach through a Bible book, are you listening? Do you think I would just have chosen that passage of Scripture to preach to you tonight if I was just trying to choose something to preach about? No. But as you travel through a book, God helps you to tie yourself down to the next portion of Scripture. What is this saying? What is this saying? And you know what I've learned about that blessed book? The Word of God. Every single solitary piece of it is applicable to my life. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And may God help us to see his tender, loving care of widows indeed. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. And I pray that you'll help us. Help us to be a church that is truly sincere about obeying the Word of God. Those dear ladies who are listening to me now, who are widows and widows indeed, I pray that you help them to see your care and help them not to be ashamed to ask for help, and help our church to literally step in and do what we can. I realize there's not every need that we can meet, but there's some things we can do. Help the church to see this and see your tender care for this targeted group. We love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. Have you denied her? You are a widow. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You're a widow and you're listening to this message tonight. That's a lot of hands. May the Lord help you. Do you see how much God loves you? And that He's devoted certain portions of Scripture to speak concerning you. Have you been an honest person? You say, Jody, my dad is already gone on, but I have a widowed mother. I have a widowed mother. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You have a widowed mother? Yes. Well, that's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? That's a lot of you. Do you understand the message? God starts with you. Now, that doesn't mean that the church can't step in and help you. That doesn't mean that all the responsibility lies on you. No, the church is in the progression. But the church is not first, the church is third. You see what I'm saying? It's third. And if you're doing what you can and you need help, go to other family members. You say, I can't get any help from them. Come to the local church and we'll do what we can. You understand, I can't commit to things. I can't say we'll do this and this or this. But I can say that if it's in our capability, we'll certainly try to help you with it. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not tying the church down here because I'm making no promises to anybody. I'm just simply saying this is serious business. And may the Lord help us to see how important this is. Now, I want all of you to look at me just a moment. I got done early tonight. You know, it's the unpardonable sin to let a church out early. You know that? So I'm not going to do it. No, I'm just kidding with you. I just want to make this statement and just give you something to think about. The big thing I'm trying to pump into our church is targeting groups, and targeting that group to try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is that not what God just did with the widows? Did He not just target a group and say, I want you to take care of that group? I'm trying to share with you what I'm trying to get this church to see. It's biblical. It's Bible. And what I see is a widow's ministry. Will it ever happen? I don't know. But I'll let you in my mind just a moment. I can see a widow's ministry reproducing itself. Because I guarantee you, you who are widows, most of you know another widow. Most of you. That's not in this church. And God can use you to bring them to hear the gospel and they can trust Christ as their Savior. That's what life's about. And may the Lord help us to use our influence and exhaust it to reach others for His glory and His honor. Our Father, help us now as we go our separate ways in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers if you want to go to your meeting at this time. And